You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to site now, we're getting you ready for week number 7. I have my start sit column up, The Decider, that you can check out there, as well as my picks against the spread. You can also check out our picks straight up and sleepers and busts, injury news there that we're tracking, and a preview of Thursday Night Football from a betting and fantasy football perspective that put up there on Thursdays as well. We'll break down the Giants-Eagles game for you tomorrow, the aftermath there on Lineup Friday when we turn our attention to DFS and the values there for DraftKings and FanDuel. But we still have to break down the rest of the matchups here. We did 7 games there on Matchup Wednesday. We're going to do the back 7 here on Matchup Thursday all the way through the Sunday and Monday night games. So in-depth analysis, deep dives, and no nonsense, straight to the point here. That's what we're going to do. Before we dive into all that fun, I got to tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, you're thirsty, you need some energy during games. Well, Pepsi is there for you to make you the best football watcher ever. Pepsi's a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. All right, let's dive in, shall we? We still have one more game in that 1 p.m. Eastern Time window that we didn't get to, so let's do that. It is the Packers and Texans. Yeah, this is a nice one here for fantasy football, that's for sure. We're excited about that. It's a 57 over-under trending to the Packers, only mild favorites in this one. Texans only have one win, but again, I think part of the concern is the Packers' defense here. They got destroyed there against Tampa. Didn't play very well offensively either, but I think they'll rebound here for sure. That's a high point total. We expect a shootout between Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. Should be a lot of fun, this game. One of the better 1 p.m. games that isn't the Steelers-Titans game. That should also be nice to watch. Here, I think you'll get consistent offense from both sides. So Aaron Rodgers certainly going to shake off that game in Tampa. I didn't like him in that matchup to be a high-end player. He wasn't even there as a bottom-end QB1. So this week he gets it done. Texans' defense is terrible. Aaron Jones, that could cut into Rodgers a little bit because the Texans are so terrible against the run. But we saw last week it didn't matter. You had Derrick Henry go off and you had Ryan Tannehill go off as the Texans' defense gave up 600 yards of offense. So there's plenty to go around here for Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones in this game. Devontae Adams should have his best game since returning here. For sure, they can't cover Adams there. Who else do you trust here? Watch Robert Tonyan. He popped up on the injury report with a little bit of an ankle issue. Had to come out of the game against the Bucs, so maybe he's not out there. So maybe a little bit more Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We know that the Texans really struggled against the tight end last week, giving up a big game to Anthony Firkser. So I think Tonyan would be the man. So monitor, if he's playing, he's got to be in your lineup this week. Again, tight end is not great. I think he's easily a top 5 option. If healthy this week, Adams could easily finish as the top wide receiver on the board overall. Should get in the end zone as well. Finally, that's what he does, and this is a great matchup to do that for a team that just gave up a pair of scores to A.J. Brown. So Marquez Valdes-Scantling, can you take a shot on him? It's a very good matchup. They could definitely get a big play downfield playing off the running game, but MVS is so hard to trust. He's so inconsistent. So, I mean, that's at your own risk, but really like Adams and Tonyan, and Jones is in an absolute smash spot. I think he could easily have a case to be the top RB on the board this week, given what Derrick Henry did to this defense all round. And Jones is that type of back, and we know he can score as well. So love Aaron Jones. If you're running up against him in fantasy, good luck. If you have him, you can feel really good about your chances to win this week. not play the Packers defense, not getting it done there. But Rodgers, I expect three scores from him. And I would say 250 to 300, depending on how much damage Jones does. Now, on the Texan side of things, you can look at Deshaun Watson. He's locked and loaded here. You can look at Will Fuller, although Jaire Alexander, he's a tough matchup because Fuller's a speed receiver. Alexander can kind of stay with him downfield on the outside. But Fuller's a very talented guy. They can move him around. He's going to not always see Alexander necessarily, so I still play him, but this could be another game for Brandon Cooks here to get going. He's a very capable receiver. He's finally being used in the right way in this offense, playing off Fuller. So great spot for Cooks. Always going to get the lesser coverage here versus Fuller because Fuller's a deep threat and all that. So Fuller, again, temper expectations. I think he drops into more of a borderline wide receiver 2-3 this week, while I think Cooks is maybe a higher-end feeling wide receiver 3 than Fuller. So that's that. I think you can look at Darren Fells. If Jordan Akins misses another game, it could be possible with an ankle injury, his missed practice early. The Packers are pretty good against the tight end, but did give up a touchdown to Rob Gronkowski last week, so pretty vulnerable. That's the kind of role that Fells is in, playing off Fuller and Cooks. David Johnson, I also like, coming out of the backfield, going to be involved in the pass game, probably a good chance to score a touchdown here against the Packers to help Watson. So good game for all the offensive principles here that you feel really good to go off, except maybe the exception of Fuller here this week. All right, the next game that we'll move on to talk about as we go to the 4:05 window, this is the only game in that window, it's the Seahawks and Cardinals. Yeah, another fun game. This is a very similar line to the Texans-Packers. You have 56, so 1.5 less, and also 3.5-point spread in favor of the Seahawks. So this number has dropped since the Cardinals' demolishing of the Cowboys there on Monday night. Seahawks, however, are coming off a bye. So this one's a pretty easy one. You got to play all your principles this week. There is an exception. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's start with the Seahawks. Yeah, Russell Wilson, full speed ahead. If you got Russell Wilson, you know he's durable. You know he produces every week. You don't need a backup quarterback. Just dump him. Continue. Wilson is your guy the rest of the way. Don't even think about it. And a great matchup here against this Cardinals secondary. And definitely I'm looking at a 303 game from Wilson. And again, Tyler Lockett, they can have him dominate the slot. I like DK Metcalf as well on the outside. Patrick Peterson just not fast enough anymore to handle a guy like Metcalf. So those two guys in smash positions here to help one Russell Wilson. Chris Carson should be finally fully healthy here. Has been banged up. So Chris Carson, again, locked in as your borderline RB1 every week here. So pretty easy there, the principles. There, I'm not extending beyond that to tight end or David Moore or anything like that. It's not that type of game for me. I'm not going to the defense either, obviously, with the Kyler Murray on the other side. But yeah, feel great about Wilson, Metcalf, Lockett, and Carson this week. For the Cardinals, love Kyler Murray. He is right up there with Russell Wilson, putting up elite fantasy football numbers. I think it's going to be a battle between these two in the end for who is the highest scoring quarterback in fantasy. I mean, Murray's running has been out of control, excellent here. Seahawks are pretty good at linebacker. However, they could get Jordan Brooks as well to help Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright to help slow down Murray. But who slowed down Murray? He's the fastest quarterback that we've seen maybe ever in the NFL, even ahead of Lamar Jackson. So his running is still going to get going here. Seahawks don't really have great answers for DeAndre Hopkins on the outside. Christian Kirk also has a great matchup here. He's been involved a lot, scored 3 touchdowns the last 2 weeks, made a lot of big plays. So he's locked in. It's really the Cardinals' number 2, and they're using him very well here. So he definitely has wide receiver 3 appeal in this one. Hopkins is a high-end wide receiver 1. He'll rebound from that quiet game against the Cowboys. It's a weird anomaly with that one because there's going to be more volume here from Kyler Murray. So that's for sure. So in the backfield, however, the Seahawks are pretty good against the run generally. They gave up a big game to Dalvin Cook in the first half and then Alexander Mattison their game before the bye, but they're typically good against the run. I think they'll clean up some things in this one. So Kenyon Drake, don't chase the big numbers. If you have a alternative Kenyon Drake, go there because I think Drake, Edmonds, that thing could split and be a little bit ugly here, not counting necessarily on either one to score this week. So I think they both drop down. If you need them, they're more deep league flex plays for me this week than Drake just smashed it as an RB1 against the Cowboys, but this is not the Cowboys. The Seahawks are pretty bad defensively, but it really comes in their bad pass rush and their secondary, and not as much with their run defense traditionally here, and they'll definitely clean it up from their mess from the previous week, and they're a little healthier up front as well in that regard against the run. So Drake and Edmonds, I'm going to hit the pause button, but I love Hopkins and Kirk tying in with Murray this week. All right, so there's two games here. Now, we still have to talk about the 4:25 p.m. window, then the Sunday night and Monday night games. We'll get into those in a moment, but before we do that, I got to tell you about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer? Choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? Well, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and most important, prices that you prefer. They have everything at rockauto.com, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's you, the classic driver, you, the daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, as I mentioned, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. All right, we'll be right back here to continue the show and talk about the three 4:25 p.m. games Sunday, week number 7. All right, let's continue here, and we start with the marquee matchup, we hope, 49ers and Patriots here. So Jimmy Garoppolo, the revenge game, returning to New England here. This is the marquee game in this window. In terms of the intrigue, in terms of fantasy football, the number is pretty low, folks. It's 43.5. The Patriots are mild favorites here at home, -2, so barely there. So basically the home field advantage is what's giving the Patriots a number here, and maybe the faith that they will not lose three in a row, which they haven't done since 2002, but really did not look good against the Chiefs offensively without Cam Newton. With Cam Newton, they didn't look good at all against the Broncos. So 49ers defense figured out some things last week. Their secondary got healthier with Emmanuel Mosley and Jason Verrett. So those two guys played very well on the outside. We'll see. They have some other injuries here that they're concerned about. Quan Alexander at linebacker. Now Jaquaski Tart has a growing injury at safety. So some things open up here for the Patriots offense with those injuries. But the 49ers adjusted well against the Rams last week. And not as many threats that you worry about here from the Patriots. So let's start with the 49ers side. I can't recommend Jimmy Garoppolo on the road here. We know Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, this defensive scheming, they know him very well. So they're going to know his tendencies. They're going to try to play against him here. Now, he could have a decent game here spreading the ball around. We know they're going to get the ball out of his hands quickly, get some run after the catch, but the Patriots will be prepared for all of that. So I do like Deebo Samuel, however, because they'll get him involved, move him around. He's not always going to face Stephon Gilmore. It's not great if he's going to face Gilmore, but they do have Brandon Ayuk to draw some attention here, so that might help. And Samuel, again, they can work him inside there in the slot if they need to, dump off little flip passes to him. So ways to get him the ball in space as quickly as possible where it's not traditional run down field, run a route, and Gilmore's on him all the time. So keep that in mind. He's not the traditional wide receiver. You figure the 49ers should be game planning to stop something here. George Kittle, you're a little worried about that because the Patriots are definitely very talented in working against the tight end with their safety play. So that's a little concerning, but they also could focus to take away the running game. There is no Raheem Mostert in this game. He's back on the shelf with an ankle injury, unfortunately. So it could be some Jerick McKinnon and Jamichael Hasty because Jeff Wilson is still hurting here with a calf injury. So weird how this backfield keeps changing. Tevin Coleman, there was a thought that he could return, but I don't think that's going to happen here from his knee injury against the Patriots. So Again, Jerick McKinnon, they'll have to trust him a little bit more. A little bit of Hasty is the rookie from Baylor, who looked pretty good at running early against the Rams. He's got some juice, so there's that. But I think it's McKinnon-Hasty committee. So if I'm the Patriots, I take away the run first, because that is what opens things up elsewhere in the passing game for Jimmy Garoppolo. So it might be a break for Kittle. We know Bill Belichick has praised Kittle, which usually is an indication. We've seen him do it with Travis Kelce, trying to bottle him up and take him out of the game. So a little concerned if I'm Kittle manager this week, but I'm going to play him. He's in every week. This way you're drafting him early to break through tough matchups where he's going to get the attention like this. And it's not like Kelce hasn't produced when the Patriots have been focused on him either. So it'll be interesting. I think the 49ers' diversity on offense makes it a challenge here for the Patriots to key in on something. But yeah, I'm really just feeling Kittle this week. I don't feel the running game at all. I don't know how it's going to split between McKinnon and Hasty. And Kittle and Samuel are the guys I'm not stretching to Brandon Ayuk this week. And hope for the best there that they can get open and help each other get open, as the Patriots have to pick their poison there a little bit with those two guys that are big playmakers for the 49ers. So you could look at both defenses in this game. I mean, again, the Patriots typically play better defense at home. They were still pretty good against Drew Locke last week, so keep that in mind. 49ers certainly playable with Cam Newton making mistakes, and not a lot of threats here in the passing game for the Patriots. I mean, are they really scared about Damir Bird, N'Keal Harry, with the way Mosley and Verrett are playing? I'm not sure about that. So keep in mind, not going there. Julian Edelman, I got to see more before I'm going to trust Julian Edelman either. So again, maybe he gets going, but I want to see it first, because there's only been one game, the Seahawks game, and that's about it for Julian Edelman. So right now, he's not playable at all. So basically, it's pretty simple. Don't play any Patriots this week, except their defense. I don't like the running game situation either, because you could see Damian Harris, Rex Burkhead, some mix there. The 49ers still have some pretty good players and linebacker and Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, even if Alexander doesn't play either. So keep that in mind. So yeah, sit all your Patriots this week. Pretty easy decision. The only players you're looking at in this game are Samuel and Kittle, plus the Patriots D, less inclined to play 49ers D on the road, but you could if you wanted to against Newton. All right, the next game in this window is 4:25. This one is actually lower scoring as well, on one side at least. It's a 9.5 to 10-point spread in favor of the Chiefs going to the Broncos, who just went to New England and won. It's a 46 over-under, so not a very high employed total for the Broncos in this one. The Chiefs should be okay, but it could be more of a grinding game. The Broncos are decent against the run, so I don't expect them to suddenly wilt against Clyde Edwards-Helaire the same way the Bills did, and also have Le'Veon Bell in the mix. So I think they'll ease Bell in. They'll get him some touches here, some third down opportunities. Certainly Darrell Williams is going to be benched in those situations more with Bell back. They do have the Jets game next week, so I think that's when Bell will really want to touch the ball quite a bit. But here I think he'll be okay being eased in, coming into the offense and all that. So can't go with Bell. I think you still look at Edwards-Helaire there, because I still think the volume is going to be pretty high. And again, we want some touchdowns out of the rookie, but again, I think he'll be solid overall. Maybe not a close to spectacular the way he was against the Bills, but can get the job done here against Denver with enough touches, and I think he'll get those again while Bill still learns his way in the system. Now, the passing game, Tyreek Hill, he should roast the secondary like he usually does. Come off a quiet game there. I also like, of course, Travis Kelce every week. He's locked in. So, Kelce and Hill, who's the third guy is always a question mark. We thought Mecole Hardman was certainly going to be the guy with no Sammy Watkins. Watkins certainly could miss another game here this week. But DeMarcus Robinson, we've seen consistently when Watkins is out, they trust DeMarcus Robinson a little bit more. Part of it right now is teams are playing the Chiefs in a zone system where they're not trying to give up the big plays downfield. So that's not good for Hardman necessarily, or Hill as much. Hill can fight through that because he can kind of just blow by people and get open and run past the zone. But Hardman's still learning that, the nuances of route running. He's a little bit younger. And with DeMarcus Robinson, he's just going to get open, find a little soft spot, and make some plays. So nothing spectacular for DeMarcus Robinson, but he to me, he is very valuable when Watkins is not in, because it's one less mile to feed, and he's a guy that they look at a little bit more underneath here in those situations. So I think Robinson is certainly playable as a back-end deep league wide receiver three or flex play. Tyreek Hill, I think, will bounce back as a wide receiver one this week, and Travis Kelce always a tight end one. You can also think about the Chiefs' defense with Chris Jones, Frank Clark against Drew Locke. Put some pressure on the Broncos and make some plays in this one, that's for sure. As for the Broncos, where do I go? Let's watch Noah Fant, see if he can come back. If he's in there, I think you can play him for sure. I mean, tight end is pretty bad again this week. So if Fant's in, certainly has some viability. I don't love the matchup. The Chiefs are okay against the tight end. They're not spectacular. They did give up a big game to Darren Waller. So again, Fant is certainly playable if he's in there. Tim Patrick is the wide receiver I would go with over Jerry Jeudy in this game. Patrick is just getting more involved. Rookie Jeudy, slow start, working the slot. Limited results there. And you have a tough matchup here with Tyrann Mathieu as well there in the slot for the Chiefs. So again, it's a Patrick and Fant game. I am going to go with the back, whoever it is. Looks like it'll probably be Melvin Gordon here, but tough break for Phillip Lindsay. He looks good, then you just have to go back to the bench. I think Gordon is not nearly as good as he is right now, but that's the way it is. They paid Gordon the money. He's coming off the illness, rested at least. And so Gordon always has a chance for a touchdown. So, yeah, he's playable here for sure in this matchup, assuming he's the guy. If he's not in there, then it's Lindsay time again to produce against the Chiefs. So Gordon, Patrick, Fant are the Broncos of note here that we're looking at, and they're definitely sitting the Broncos defense after that performance against the Patriots. Our final game in this window is the Jaguars and Chargers. So not as exciting, but actually a higher over-under than both the games we just talked about here with 49 there, and the Chargers are 7.5-point favorites at home. So coming off a bye. So let's look at the Jaguars. I don't really like the Jaguars this week, except for James Robinson. He's in there every week because he gets the volume here, and game script doesn't seem to affect him, and he's always a threat to score. But Gardner Minshew is really struggling, folks. And the Chargers, they have his own defense, and they have good cornerbacks. And this is usually not a good matchup for him. They also have Joey Bosa coming off the edge. I just don't like this one. Looking at Minshew, DJ Chark is probably going to get some pretty tight coverage here with Casey Hayward. You got Desmond King, who can cover the slot, which is not necessarily good for Keelan Cole. So Laviska Shenault, I think there's a little bit of a break with no Chris Harris here, but this Charger secondary, again, really brutal and deep, even without Derwin James in there. So really, I think this is not a good game for anything much in the Jaguars offense. You can't really be inspired after their really bad performance against the Lions overall last week, where Cole was basically the only one who did anything in that game. And again, I don't see Cole again with Desmond King there, and they can move King with Cole and try to contain him. So between Shenault and Cole, someone will have some production, but not feeling really hot about it. Chark, I just don't see him being fully healthy right now. I mean, if he's fully healthy, he'd be running routes and blowing by people, but he's not doing what he usually does, is at least score if he's not producing elsewhere downfield. And so you're pretty much dependent on a touchdown for Chark. Certainly could happen in this game, but I just don't feel a big game, more of a wide receiver three at best this week for Chark, especially with Minshew maybe having trouble with this type of defense. Again, Robinson, the only Jaguar really I feel totally confident about in terms of health and usage here consistently, and keep in mind that Shenault also has a hamstring injury coming in. Now, looking at the Chargers, I mean, I think you feel good about most things Chargers here. Justin Herbert, if you need him, definitely at home. Jaguars defense really falling apart here. Have some more injury issues now at linebacker on the defensive line. So, yeah, do like Herbert to keep it going here. Mike Williams, he's locked in as probably wide receiver two this week. Keenan Allen's a wide receiver one. Hunter Henry's a tight end one. You have Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly. Once again, the backfield, the Jaguars are terrible against the run. We saw what the combination of DeAndre Swift and Adrian Peterson did to them last week. So that should inspire here with Joshua Kelly being more in the Swift role, and maybe he's the guy who gets multiple touchdowns. Justin Jackson is a bit banged up with a knee injury going into this game, so keep that in mind. So that could lean towards Kelly getting a little bit more. And game scripting, I think Kelly's dependent on that. We saw early that he is going to be involved and run a lot if they can play with the lead. So way back in week one. But Kelly's the more dynamic talent. I think everyone's on Jackson. And he did come through in a tough matchup against the Saints. But Kelly, I think, to me, is the more explosive back. They'll get ways to get him more involved here. And again, so you could easily see Jackson being the Peterson of the scenario and Kelly being the Swift. And wouldn't surprise anyone, given how bad this Jaguars team is. So we'll see. I don't know if you're going to get a ton of volume from Herbert, but we've seen that he can get it done with even limited volume here. So I'm looking at 250 potential for three for Herbert, and looking like maybe a touchdown and maybe about 150 combined yards from the two running backs this week. All right, so that takes care of that game for the most part. Also start the Chargers defense, by the way, if you didn't follow that. So we still have two more games to talk about, the primetime games, the Bucks Raiders and Bears Rams. Before we get into those two primetime games, I got to tell you more about Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Now, for me, I'm not going to games and covering them for sporting news. I'm at home here consuming all the games and watching them here, tracking everyone and everything that's going on throughout the day. So it's like a seven-hour day for me. I need something to fuel me and get me through with the energy and the taste I need and the refreshment that's ideal for me. And I can't think of anything better than Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passion fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. We'll be right back here to close the show looking at the Bucks and Raiders and the Bears and Rams. All right, let's close the show, folks. We have two more games to talk about, and they're big ones for sure, involving some very good teams. We go to Las Vegas, the rematch of Super Bowl 37 between the Bucks and the Raiders. So John Gruden on the other side again. He was on the other side in the Super Bowl, and he was on the other side before, and then now he's back with the Raiders. So interesting dynamic there, as well as Tom Brady being on the other side. You remember the Tuck Rule game and all that drama here against the Raiders. Now he faces him as the quarterback of his old team. So all kinds of weird stuff going on here with John Gruden and Tom Brady. That's going to be the talking point outside the game. In terms of inside the lines for fantasy football, let's break it down. Tampa, let's start with them. Tom Brady, yeah, like him. He's in a groove, starting with his weapons, and the Raiders secondary not very good, very vulnerable in different spots. So I think this is a big week for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. This secondary is overmatched. They have to play LaMarcus Joyner on the outside, and he's not meant to be that. He's a slot inside guy. They don't have a lot of depth or experience there elsewhere. So Tom Brady's going to look at that. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, inside, outside, they're going to have a dominating game here, I think. So it's a wide receiver game, not so much a tight end game. The Raiders are pretty decent, especially with Nick Kwiatkowski, pretty good cover linebacker back here, and Jonathan Abram as well as safety. So this is a wide receiver game, certainly for Tampa. So Evans and Godwin, they were definitely disappointing last week as they were able to win with defense, the running game, and the tight ends. This game is a little different. I think the Raiders will provide a little bit of resistance here on the road versus the Bucks being at home. So, again, I'm going with Evans and Godwin. I'm going to sit Rob Gronkowski, not go there. I'm not chasing that game from last week. I'm definitely starting Ronald Jones here. Leonard Fournette looks like he's healthy, and he has a potential. The Raiders have been vulnerable against the run, but Jones is the guy I'm trusting. I don't know what Fournette's usage is going to be behind Jones now that he's off the injury report. So, again, I want to go with the known quantity that Jones. So, Jones, Evans, Godwin, Brady. That's where I'm loving it here this week for the Bucks. The Bucks defense, you could play. Derek Carr is up and down, but I would tend to lean away from them if you can, because they're on the road. And again, the Raiders are pretty decent at protecting the ball as much as they can here with Carr. Emphasis really for John Gruden here. So So let's look at the Raiders. I don't love Derek Carr. You can't really feel great about the way they played defense against Aaron Rodgers last week. So he's okay, but you look at the Bucs, they really are built to contain Darren Waller. I still play Darren Waller, of course. He's in every week, but Antoine Winfield, their cover guys, are pretty darn good here for the Bucs. So could be a tough, more modest game, more like maybe 5 catches for 40 or 5 for 60 for Darren Waller. Still playable, but contained a little bit by his standards of being a hybrid wide receiver. The Bucs are very good against the run, so you're counting on a Josh Jacobs touchdown. We know what Aaron Jones did not do against them last week. So, again, temper your expectations. Jacobs is more of an RB2 this week. Darren Waller still a tight end one, but more of a back-end guy. Now, the receiver is hard to read. Henry Ruggs III, Nelson Agholor, Hunter Renfro. It doesn't look like Bryan Edwards is going to be back this week. So there's that. But the distribution between these three guys is random. They don't get a lot of high volume here. So it's really hard to go there beyond Jacobs and Waller with anyone on the Raiders at this point. And again, the Bucs secondary is pretty good. You have Carlton Davis, who's a very good cover corner. Sean Murphy Bunting, I mentioned their safety. So also good there to contain Waller. So yeah, I'm not looking necessarily that the Raiders are going to do a lot of damage in this game. So again, the Bucs defense, I think, is a little hit or miss. They may not get the big plays. There may be more of a yardage scoring type deal for them this week, so keep that in mind. But yeah, not feeling the Raiders to do quite a bit in this game, and the Bucs defensive momentum and offensive passing game starting to definitely elevate this season. Finally, let's look at our last game here. It's the Bears and Rams. With the Bears and Rams, you got a 45 over-under, so we drop back under 50. The Rams are 6-point favorites at home. I can't imagine a really high-scoring game in this one, so let's break it down for you. Don't like Jared Goff, don't like Robert Woods. Woods on the outside getting either Kyle Fuller or Jalen Johnson, the rookie. Tough matchups there, so Woods, we know, can make up for his value with a rush here or there or a touchdown and all that stuff. So he still could be viable, but I'm going to bump him down to wide receiver 3 at best, and you might have some better options this week. So Cooper Kupp, I think, is a bit immune because he works in the slot and got targeted a lot last week, was an off game. You know he's going to be studying the film, grinding to make up for it. So Cooper Kupp, to me, more wide receiver 2, so I like Kupp better than Woods if you need to play someone from this Rams passing game. Tyler Higbee, the Bears are kind of up and down and covering the tight end. If you need him, you can go there, but the split with Gerald Everett says no here. So really, I feel good about Daryl Henderson out of the backfield. The Bears are vulnerable against the run. Kupp, again, can scheme himself open in the slot away from those two pretty good corners, and Goff getting the ball out quickly. So Kupp and Henderson for sure are where I'm going. Again, Woods, depending on your situation, you could sit him. Goff certainly not going there. And again, the tight ends have just been hard to navigate here with the sudden split between the two in the passing game. I do love the Rams defense in prime time at home again. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey against Nick Foles. What else is there to look at there? Then you look at the Chicago Bears on their side. Allen Robinson probably going to get some Jalen Ramsey again. Not benching Allen Robinson, but again, I would temper my expectations. You know how good Ramsey is. They'll move around, give him a chance, maybe get a touchdown here. Just has to make one play, beat him there in short situations, but Robinson's getting a lot of targets from Foles. We know that. I like David Montgomery. The Rams are vulnerable against the run. They're going to use him in the passing game as well, so Montgomery for sure stays in your lineup, and I think he gets in the end zone this week. So Montgomery and Henderson really could be the most productive guys here. I'm not extending to Jimmy Graham, not looking at Darnell Mooney, not looking at any action from Anthony Miller this week or Cole Kmet, even though he scored last week. So, and stick with your principles. Montgomery, I like definitely to be solid here, maybe borderline RB1, where I like Robinson dropping down a little bit because of the presence of Ramsey, and certainly not trusting there in the Bears passing him that much. So that's why you see the low total. Hard game to think that it's going to be a sudden shootout here with very good defenses here and guys like Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald on the field. So not very good for fantasy football to close the week here on Monday night. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of all the games now. We took care of the first seven on matchup Wednesday, took care of the back seven here on matchup Thursday. Don't forget, we'll have lineup Friday where we examine the DFS values that you need to know, as well as the injury updates going into week seven's Sunday and Monday games. We also have a breakdown of the Giants-Eagles game. So good luck if you got players going tonight. Have a great day. See you tomorrow with Locked On Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer.